For FM Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 44th International Film Festival Rotterdam, and I'm joined by filmmaker Lucas Valenta Rinner, who is presenting his film Parabellum here at the festival. Thanks very much for being with us.
Yeah, sure. Hello. Nice.
I guess the best way to start off the interview would be to maybe tell our listeners a little bit about this story.
The film is about a tourist group that go from Buenos Aires into an isolated delta close to the city to start preparing there for what they think is the end of the world.
Right, yeah. It's a really fascinating concept. I was telling you a little before the interview started that there's a lot of elements that seem cinematic, but this film knocks down every cliche in a lot of ways. Was this one of the reasons why you actually sought out to make the story, or was there a different inspiration for it?
I mean, I was in 2012, I got really inspired by everything that surrounded the fear of the possible end of the world, because the Mayan calendar was ending at the end of the year, so a lot of people were getting really paranoid about the possible approaching end. So I started to meet people who actually prepared, who started prepping, and who started doing survival courses, and maybe, you know, also thinking about Hollywood productions who tackled those themes. I definitely wanted to do a film that sort of plays with the genre, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. And what do you think that is, actually, that people are so fascinated with the end of the world?
I think maybe, or as I see it from people I've met, I think it, for me, it also, besides the paranoia of the actual end of times, I think it's for some of them also an excuse to escape their routines and daily lives in the city, or their boring office routines, getting themselves into the wilderness to prepare for something that's coming, but that is also almost, you know, a Boy Scout adventure or, you know, a survival experience.
Totally. It's almost a paradox that, like, such an escapist element becomes an element in escapist cinema so often. And actually, it makes sense because at the start of the film, we actually witness the boredom of their daily routine and all that stuff. So it was very important to get, like, the atmosphere legit to feel legitimate for you.
Yeah.
And very realistic, I guess.
We tried to really incorporate on one hand a very aesthetic element in the film with a very distant framing and a very rigorous camera work.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we wanted to incorporate realism. Actually, most of the trainers that are training with this group are real trainers, and they do that in their daily life. So in also writing the script, we started working with them. We made survival courses to get a real, you know, documentary feeling to it. And during the scenes, actually, they are really training with the actors and non-actors. You know, we tried to make a time frame of half a day maybe and do different exercises with them every day and filmed it.
So there's a completely realistic depth to the film. Was it very scripted, this film, or did most of it come out spontaneously? Or was there a bit of both, maybe?
There was definitely a script, and there was everything was outlined, but we knew that in the process of the prep of the film, in the trainings, there were things that were going to change, or we were willing to adapt that were not planned in the screenplay.
Yeah.
Actually, we found the location where the main resort where they're training actually had training elements in the forest, like this whip they're running around on and stuff. So there were things that we found in the preparation for the film that we didn't know actually existed, and suddenly we found that it was much more real than we imagined.
Yeah, and out of this like approach, which you already hinted at, and I'd like to know a little bit more about, it's very meticulous. I look at the camera work, and it's almost like there's almost no movement, and it's very static, and it just becomes like this thing where the approach is indirect but direct at the same time, because it makes the viewing experience much more subjective, I guess.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be right?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we tried to keep a distance. There's very little dialogue in the film. There's almost no talking. And I think that, you know, working with this distance gives us sort of this possibility just to watch them train and watch them prepare and sort of pick or get to know the characters better from a distance. We never know really what they're thinking or who they are, and just throughout the film Things keep appearing that we can't. It's not really a psychological work, but much more of the frames and getting to know them through the shots.
Yeah, and within the frame, I guess one of the reactions and another thing that I was telling you before the interview was that I really enjoyed the way in which there's a lot of humorous moments, and a lot of it is very physical, you know, because you know you see them doing all these exercises and things like that. So the humor in the film is spontaneous in a way.
Of course, I mean, we had to take a lot of it out eventually in the editing room because, of course, if you have, you know, middle class, everyday common people training for the end of the world and getting into a swamp or running around and, you know, just hard physical training, it evidently has a really funny element to it sometimes.
I'm sure there was like behind the scenes moments too and loads of outtakes that would make great extras for a DVD release.
Yeah,
right?
for sure.
So I'd like to know now how you got this thing together. It's very hard nowadays to make a film, you know, especially a feature film. Can you tell me a little bit about the actual financing and how you gathered enough money to get this thing off the ground?
It really started with my first short film, A Letter to Fukuyama, which screened in a few festivals. Yes. And there is an art fund in Austria, the Innovative Film Fund. Mm-hmm. And they, I sent them a treatment of Parabellum, and they just coincidentally saw the film, the short film, and sort of got in touch with me and said, come on, apply for script development. We really like your film, and we would be interesting to support you. So I got the first development funding from them, and subsequently also production funding.
Yes.
And we later then worked with the Argentinian Film Institute as we're shooting there, and the Uruguayan Institute gave a little financial support as well.
Right, so everything came together in the end. I would like to ask you another thing, and this is probably more relevant to your being a filmmaker as a whole, but it also relates to the film, because in this film you do show elements of that are kind of geographically relatable to an Austrian or at least more European type of filmmaking. Fascinating that you got to use that in a setting that's so remote from Austria, you know.
Yep.
How does that affect your nature as a filmmaker?
I'm a really strange mix. I'm talking about that with a lot of people because I'm a strange case for the Austrians and I'm a stranger case for the Argentinians, I think.
Right.
But I formed myself in Argentina. I studied there and I'm surrounded by Argentinian filmmakers all the time. Yeah. At the same time, I see a lot of Austrian movies and I think there is a certain aesthetic approach that for sure you can call Austrian or maybe more European.
Yeah.
But I like to mix that. I like to mix a certain Latino film language with my European heritage.
Absolutely. And it makes for almost a completely original way of filmmaking language, you know?
Yeah, thank you.
And it's something that I have noticed that there's a lot of filmmakers nowadays that take themselves out of the comfort zone and they don't stay in their native country and they just go out there and into the world.
Yeah, we are actually, our production company is actually a production company funded by several foreigners and Argentinians. We're all living in Buenos Aires together and we all started making films together. So there's also Canadians, Germans, Colombians, we're all working together sort of far away from home, making films in a strange country. Yeah?
A community of filmmaking expats, let's say. And you don't have to go to London to make it in the film business. So are you looking to, have you got anything in the can, next projects or future themes that you might like to develop?
I mean, I'm really interested, I'm really inspired generally by spaces and locations. And a few weeks or a month ago, I found this remote nudist swinger community in the province of Buenos Aires, and I started going there. It's a very inspiring place with Roman temples and huge water basins, and people from the middle class go there to spend their weekend.
Nice.
So I'm going there. I'm riding there. I'm going to see what happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, to me, it kind of sounded like something out of Leni Riefenstahl's Olympia Part 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's awesome. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. But for now, I'd like to wish you all the best with this film.
Thank you so much.
And thanks very much for joining us and talking to us.
Thank
about
you.
It.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.